Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we'll look at some tonight. I hope you've taken the time, if you were here last week, to go through and fill out that survey. And hopefully, as you've had chance to do that, you've kind of looked at the results. If you don't have a sheet this week, if you'll raise your hand, the ushers will make sure to get you an outline. But as you look at the picture, I hope you figured it out. I never spelled it out. I hope it became obvious that you see there the tool belt. And obviously, as we are gifted by God for the purpose of serving within the church and serving others, we become the tools that He uses. And all of us recognize that different tools are needed to do different jobs. And you may or may not be handy with different tools, but you recognize real quickly when you're not handy with different tools, and you bring someone in to help you that is, or you thought you were handy, and then someone who actually knows what they're doing comes along, and they take that same tool that you tried to use, and they can do much more with it. I know I've done some woodworking, very little, but especially when my wife and I were first married, I got some furniture, and I refinished it, and then decided to build this little coffee table thing, and it's still around, so it's sturdy enough, but it's probably not the most beautiful piece of furniture that anyone has ever seen. Yet if you gave the tools that I used, the table saw and the planer and the various tools that I was able to get my hands on, a router and a nail gun, which causes great injury to fingers if they're in the wrong place. And that was an exciting moment when the finger was there and the nail was still there too. That was pretty cool. So don't hold your finger underneath the object you're nailing, is apparently the lesson. But the tool in the wrong person's hand is less effective or sometimes ineffective. But when it's in the right person's hand, the master's hands, it's suddenly very useful. And you've heard the illustration of the old violin, and the master comes along and takes the same violin that seemed to be not good for much of anything. But then when he plays it, it plays beautiful music. In the same way, we're like that old violin. And we're like those tools that in and of themselves don't have much value or usefulness until someone who knows what they're doing uses them. Well, the person who knows what they're doing is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ enters our life and the Holy Spirit empowers us and He gifts us to make us usable for His service. And if you've ever done any work with tools, you also realize that you won't get very far with just one tool. If all you have is a hammer, there's only so much you can do. But when you have all of the tools that are necessary to do the job, and you the more tools you have, and some of you men are still trying to convince your wives of this, and Christmas is coming, and don't you have enough tools? Well, I'm going to help you out here. No, you don't have enough tools, because if you have more tools, you can do more work. And in the body of Christ, if we have more tools being used effectively, we can also do more work. There's more that could be accomplished. And I know your wife's argument's going to be this very simple argument. Well, why haven't you got much work done this last year with those new tools you got last Christmas, right? Unfortunately, some of us in the body of Christ are the same way. It's not that the tool's not available. It's that sometimes we're not making use of it. And so if you've taken that test, which I hope you have, I hope that you recognize that we are gifted to serve, and we all have gifts. I just want to review for a little bit before we move forward. We started out in the book of Jeremiah, and we went to that very familiar passage where Jeremiah is told that before he was even in his mother's womb, that God knew him. And that not only did God know him, but God had a purpose for his life and a plan for his life. And we were reminded that the same way, God has a purpose for our lives, that we were created on purpose, and we were created for a purpose. And when we come to know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, in order for us to accomplish that purpose that He has for us, He has gifted us. And we talked about the fact that spiritual gifts are those abilities that are given to us by the Holy Spirit that enables us to serve in the body of Christ for the profit of all. And when we recognize that there are spiritual gifts, we have to realize that all believers have spiritual gifts. If you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been gifted in some way to serve within the body. All the spiritual gifts are important. We looked at that realization that it's not that only certain gifts are important and other gifts are unimportant. Every spiritual gift is important, and there is a use for all of them. All spiritual gifts are for the body. None of the gifts are to be used for our own purposes to build us up, but rather to build up the body of Christ and working together to unselfishly serve. And we saw that Scripture warns against using gifts for our own personal gain or profit, and that's not their purpose at all. Then we summarized somewhat 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul reminds us that we are to pursue love, that love is more important than any of the gifts, and that if we are gifted but we have not love, then we have nothing, that the use of gifts apart from love is simply just an exercise in futility. Our motivation must be love of God and love of others in exercising our gifts that way, that we should then desire spiritual gifts. We should desire to have spiritual gifts. This should be something that we want. You say, why? Well, in the same way, some of you men who have a workshop want more tools so you can do more things and build more things and be more effective in your workshop there. In the same way, we as workers in the Lord Jesus Christ's service should desire to have more tools to be more effective. We should also, on the balance side, be content with the gifts that God has given us and use them as effectively as possible. And we should then lastly serve and serve others with our gifts. That's what they're given to us to do. The manifestation of the Spirit given to every man to profit with all. If you take nothing else away from our time over these 3 weeks, I hope you'll take away the realization that you have a purpose, that God has a plan for you, and part of that plan is to give you a spiritual gift or multiple gifts in order to use you for His service. I hope that as you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's look at verse number 7. We're going to get to verse 10 that's on the screen, but starting in verse 7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves." Have you heard that anywhere else before, by the way? Here's Peter writing. Paul had said the same things in Corinthians, right? Love is first. Love among yourselves, charity. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're reminded here again that the purpose of God empowering us is to serve others and to minister to one another. And in this particular passage, he's talking about the difficulty and challenge of going through suffering. And he's saying that as these believers go through suffering, if you continue through the rest of the passage, they're reminded to rejoice, but it's also a reminder to encourage one another and to build each other up, and as a part of the body of Christ, using our gifts for that purpose of edification of believers. We have a problem when we get to the church, though, and this is where we start some new thoughts, perhaps. I would like to make a statement, a thesis, so to speak. Too few Christians are involved in ministry. Now, I'm not speaking of this body of believers alone or particularly. I'm talking about as a whole. In Christianity, the statistic says that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. Now, I don't know how you could pinpoint that. Barna's done different research and things, and maybe it's 18.2 or 24. I don't know. But a rough number that's thrown about often in these studies is roughly 20% of those who fill the pews on an average church service in the average church does 80% of the work that's necessary to conduct the ministries of a church in a given week. So that's a problem. It's a problem because of multiple things. It's obviously a problem because of efficiency, right? If 20% are doing 80% of the work, it's an imbalance. But it's more than an efficiency issue. It's really an obedience issue. If we're all called to serve and to minister within the local church, then should the statistic be a little more balanced, perhaps? What I want us to see, if you have your outlines there, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, is answer a few questions for you. Because one question you might have is, how important or why is it important to know our spiritual gifts? The importance of knowing your spiritual gift. Well, number one, knowing your spiritual gift is important because of the prominence that Scripture places on spiritual gifts. How do we know it's important? Well, Scripture talks about it quite a bit. And if Scripture speaks to something, and if it has prominence in the Scriptures, it should be important to us. And Paul, in addressing the church and addressing believers, has given us some guidelines that we've looked at and given us some information about spiritual gifts. And it says even that we should desire spiritual gifts. And so if it's important in Scripture, it should be important to us. Number two, the elementary nature of spiritual gifts. What do you mean by elementary nature? Well, elementary school is where you learn the basics, right? It's where you learn the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. Do you realize that our spiritual giftedness is the basics, the building blocks that God has given each of us in order to do the things that He's called us to do? And oftentimes we hear Christians talking about things like, what's God's will for my life? I don't know what God has for me. I'd like to see what God's role is for me in this area. And we talk a lot about that big picture idea of, what does God have for me to do? Well, one of the elementary building blocks of discovering that and understanding what God has for you to do is first understanding, how has He gifted you? Because if you answer the question of giftedness, it helps you answer the question of your purpose, and it helps you answer the question of God's will. Is it the only determining factor? No, but it's one of the building blocks, one of the elementary principles that are going to play into God's will for your life and into mine. Number three, it says their spiritual gifts are a matter of individual stewardship. Stewardship is not just related to our finances. I hope you recognize that, right? God doesn't just want the first, for the sake of our understanding, the tithe, the 10%, let's just say. God doesn't just want the first 10% of your income. He wants the first fruits of everything we have. He wants the first, most important, prominent place in your schedule as far as your time goes. Does God get the first place, or do you put God in on the schedule if everything else fits in the day and you have time for Him? You see the understanding there of the stewardship of my time. I need to make God a priority in my time, and He should be the first place. It's the issue of the finances. We give the first 10% as a representation that God's given it to me. I give back to Him. My time, God gives it to me. I'm a steward of it. I first give Him His due, and then I do the rest. And in this area of giftedness, we're to be stewards of the gifts that God has given us. And in this case, we're talking about specifically our spiritual gifts. How effective are you at using the spiritual gift God has given you in His service? Have you even considered that? Have you even looked and thought, am I effectively using the gifts and abilities and what God has entrusted to me? Have I used that effectively to serve Him? When we know our spiritual gifts, it should be a number two, they're a typo, but knowing your spiritual gifts, probably shouldn't highlight my own mistakes, right? But my spiritual gift is not typing, so we'll just clear that up right now. But knowing your spiritual gifts will help you with a number of things. Number one, it'll enable you to find your place of ministry in the local church. Maybe for someone here, you've never really considered the fact that you have a spiritual gift, you've never really thought about this, and in going through that survey of spiritual gifts, you've identified some things. And now you say, now that I know that, what do I do? Well, one of the first things you should do is say, where can I plug that gift in to the local church? Where can I use that gift in the local church? And ask that question and get that idea in your head. Where can I serve in the local church? It also helps you to enable you to determine priorities. You say, what do you mean? This never happens to any of you, but it happens to me. I'm sure it happens to all of us. Do you ever get asked to do 10 things at the same time? How many of you ever feel that way? Can you help in Sunday school? Can you help in this ministry? Would you be willing to do would you be an usher? Would you be a valet parker? Would you listen to verses on Wednesday night for Awana? Could you be a deacon? Could you, and the list goes on and on of all the things you may be inquired to take part in. And you say, oh, I can't do it all, so I'm just going to do this. Or some of you don't know how to say no, and you say yes, 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 and then you have all of this to do, and you haven't prioritized, and you feel overwhelmed, and you're frustrated, and you're not sure how effective you are. How do I prioritize which things I should get involved in? There's lots of principles of time management you could go into and all these different things, but maybe a real basic principle is, where am I gifted? Which of these opportunities allows me to use my spiritual gift where I would be the most effective able to minister to most people? And too often, that doesn't even come into the equation. Too often it's, well, I'm here Wednesday night, so I guess I don't have to make another trip in, and so that would probably be more ideal than having to come in on a Thursday night, and I'm not real big on driving, especially when winter's coming, so I'll take the Wednesday night one because it's more suited to my transportation. And you realize that I'm not beating anybody up because sometimes transportation is an issue that has to be resolved. But if the reason we make a decision about ministry is solely on transportation and we've never even considered our giftedness and effectiveness, then maybe we need to tip the scale the other way a little more and consider these things in our decisions. And number three, it's a great help in determining God's will. Kind of mentioned that as a preface as we got into this discussion. But how do you know God's will for your future? I think there's lots of ways. Obviously, you need to be seeking God in prayer. You need to be regularly in God's word. You need to be obeying the things that God has revealed to us. We're going to talk about some of that even here today. There's things that are clearly God's will for you to be regularly in church attendance, for you to avoid those sinful desires of the flesh and to pursue Holy Spirit living, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Those are things that are God's will. And I think the more you do those things, the more clear God's will becomes. But one area that God has clearly told us is that you're gifted in a specific way, and certain spiritual gifts are going to help direct you down the path of what may be God's will for your life. You know, if you're not gifted in administration, yet the position that is available to you in ministry is an administrative position, it may be that there's an indicator there that that's maybe not a good fit. And especially when you have a choice between multiple opportunities, one determining factor may be how you're gifted. But let's look at some cautions. One we've already mentioned, first of all, is confusing our spiritual gifts with our natural talents. Some people are naturally talented in some areas that they're not necessarily spiritually gifted in, and vice versa. You could be spiritually gifted but not be something that's a natural ability. You know, I was honest with my Sunday school class a week ago or so, and I've seen this very clearly. And Mark can attest to this because Pastor Mark and I went to college together. It's when you go to college and you're studying what you're going to study, you may have experienced this in your field. Being in ministry, it's a little different. And what I'm about to say is going to show you my spiritual shallowness, especially as a young person in college. But as I looked around the preacher boy class, the class that Pastor Mark and I were there 4 years with, I would see some guys that would get up to preach in our preaching class, our homiletics class, and sometimes their presentations would just, let's just say they were less than presentable, right? And maybe it was how they dressed, maybe it was how they spoke, maybe it was their outlining, they would struggle through it. And I would think in my shallowness, my lack of spiritual understanding at the time, and this is in all honesty, I'd say, how is this guy ever going to make it into ministry? Like, what kind of church would he be a pastor at? And I would be in another social setting, and somebody would be socially awkward and not really know how to handle themselves with people, and I'd say, this guy's going to be the pastor at a church somewhere. And when I would think those things, and I know I was the only one that was thinking those things, because all the other spiritually minded ministry majors never thought any of those things like me, except the ones that said those things to me. But that's because the unspiritual birds probably flock together, right? And so I'll be chastised. But then as I've gotten older and I run into some of these guys sometimes, as you're around the country or you're at a camp with your youth group and they bring their youth group or you go various places, sometimes you see some of those guys and you're like, wow, he made it. He must have really cleaned himself up. You know, you figure, or you hear a story about somebody and you go, so-and-so? And you can't believe. Well, what was my problem? My problem is I was looking, first of all, at the person's natural abilities versus the Holy Spirit's capability and ability to use a person if they're willing. And when the Holy Spirit empowers somebody, when the Holy Spirit gifts a person, it doesn't matter their speaking ability, it doesn't matter their personality traits, it doesn't matter all of those things, because when the Holy Spirit does it, it's a whole lot more effective than when you and I try to do it in our own strength. And what I was missing in my observation was an understanding of the reality that the Holy Spirit chooses to gift us. And if he's called a person into the ministry, he's going to give them the gifts and the tools necessary to be effective in that ministry if they'll simply humbly submit themselves to the Holy Spirit's working in their lives. And you have seen that, and you have realized that and understood that, as you've observed probably as well. But I think we still sometimes struggle with that because we see the outside where God sees the heart. And when a person is willing, to be used, God can use them. Secondly, we don't want to confuse our gifts with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit shows our maturity, and as we grow in our maturity, as we grow in our Christ-likeness, as we grow in spiritual depth, as our roots go deeper, we should see more fruit. Right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, meekness, patience. We go through the list of those spiritual fruits. And as you and I submit to the Holy Spirit, as we live lives that are more and more Christ-like, we should see more fruit in our life. But fruit is different than spiritual gifts. Spiritual giftedness is something that's given to you at salvation that the Holy Spirit empowers you in some special way to be used to serve the body of Christ. And as you grow more and more spiritual, you don't necessarily become more and more gifted. You have the spiritual gift. It's a matter of how are you going to be a steward of it. And so we don't want to confuse those two. Don't confuse spiritual gifts also with spirituality. Somehow, if I have a spiritual gift, I'm spiritual. And if I have multiple gifts, I'm more spiritual than the single gifted person. It's nothing to do with it. In fact, we just said that if you become more Christ-like, it doesn't mean you become more gifted. You are gifted by the Holy Spirit when you come to know Christ as your Savior. How spiritual were you at the day of your salvation? How deep were your roots 24 hours later? And yet, the Bible says that we as believers are all gifted by the Lord. And so we don't want to confuse those two things. Don't feel that our spiritual gift is also an excuse to not fulfill other responsibilities. We touched on this a little bit last week, right? As I look at the list of spiritual gifts, we said last week we should be pursuing all of those things and excellence in all of those areas. Because I don't have the gift of mercy, perhaps, doesn't mean that I can be unkind and uncaring and not show compassion to other people. And I just can walk away and go, well, I don't have the gift of mercy. Get one of those if you want someone to care, right? No, I'm still called to show love to others and to show compassion. It's just the gifted person doesn't have to work at it generally in the same way. They see the need before the person, you know, you've been around those kind of people, right? Those mercy people. What's wrong, dear? What do you mean, what's wrong? I didn't notice anything was wrong. But they have a gift. And they're spiritually have an insight. They see those needs, those hurting people before. Quite frankly, I don't have the gift of mercy, and I don't always see those things. Someone has to tell me those things sometimes. But sometimes the gift of mercy person doesn't always have also, by the way, the gift of knowledge. You've ever had a mercy that's very compassionate, but they have not necessarily inability to help you out of your problem? I feel bad. You should feel. I would feel bad too. And they can cry with you and weep with you and understand you. But when you want someone to help you with a solution, and what does the Bible say, and how do I move forward in this particular area, what's some biblical counsel, it's not always the same person. And sometimes you want that compassion, but now I need a solution. And then you would maybe seek out that person that has the gift more of knowledge. And so we understand those differences in the gifts. But it's not an excuse for any of us. By the way, what if I have the gift of mercy? Is that an excuse to not respond biblically? Yeah, but I really felt bad for her. So I didn't want to tell her that it was sin, that it was wrong. That might have hurt her feelings. I mean, she was already down, and I know she didn't respond rightly, but have you ever heard that? No, you've never heard that, right? That's not an excuse because of my gift to not follow a scriptural pattern in whatever the area may be. And so these are some things for us to consider, because all Christians must obey God's word. And there are things that God has clearly said are His will for all of us. It's God's will for all of us that we pursue sanctification, that we become more like Jesus Christ. It's God's will for all of us to tell others about Christ. Evangelism, there are those who are gifted specially in this area of evangelism, but none of us are without excuse to not tell our family and friends and neighbors about Jesus Christ. None of us is without excuse with our testimony. The Bible says that we should love one another and that our good works should be an example to other people, that when they see them, what? That they'll glorify God who's in heaven. What does that mean? It means we're always on display as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. All of us. We can't get away from the dictates and the mandates of Scripture The Bible says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Who's speaking? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He clearly says there are some commandments. There are some things that I've called you to do. And we're reminded that we're gifted and empowered to do them. And we're gifted and empowered in different ways to have special success, perhaps in certain areas versus some of our counterparts within the body of Christ. But none of us is without excuse to obey the mandates of Scripture. So we need to realize that our spiritual gifts are not excuses to get away from other responsibilities. All our gifts must be motivated by love. We've already mentioned that. But our desire is always love. And as we show the love of Christ to others through our spiritual gifts, we are most effective. Also recognize that you may have both the primary and secondary ministry in the church. Your primary ministry should be that area of ministry where you're using your spiritual gifts. The secondary ministry or ministries that you are involved in may be where you're needed. You know, in a body of our size, we're very fortunate. But if you're in a smaller church, what if we don't have someone gifted in that area? Someone's got to do it still. And it's not an excuse because you're not gifted to not do what you may be able to do. We have to balance that. Can't be saying yes to everything. We've already kind of addressed that idea. But you may be involved in a ministry. I don't want everybody to leave here today, by the way, you know, and everybody's dropping out of ministries. That would be a total failure of our 3 weeks, right? Well, I'm realizing I'm not in the area I'm spiritually gifted, so I'm dumping all of them. And, you know, sometimes I'm needed and I'm available and I serve. But you should look for a primary ministry where you can invest your heart, where you realize this is where I'm most effectively used. Because there's joy that comes when you're using your spiritual gifts, and I think it's supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be tuned in to where God has gifted us and plugged into that place where we can most effectively be used. And if you say, I'm struggling with that right now, for some of you, you're saying, I'm not active at all. I'm just not involved in ministries. Well, you need to get plugged in somewhere. Some of you say, I feel I'm plugged in, but after I've already thought through this and now taking the test, it's kind of reaffirming that maybe I'm not in the place where I'm most effective. Well, don't bail on your commitment. Seek to find a replacement, and then seek to plug in where you are most effective. And maybe don't re-up your commitment next time. But there is something to be said, by the way, for when you make a commitment, following through with it, and finishing the job. All of us can serve, but where are you serving most effectively? Are you using your spiritual gift in your primary opportunity for ministry? Because we need to be careful of a mismatch. If others are not encouraged, honored, built up, strengthened, equipped, or edified through your gift, you may be serving in the wrong ministry or misdirecting your efforts. You know, sometimes this happens just because you were willing, and you're like, well, I'm stuck now, but it's not my fault. But sometimes it happens because you volunteer and you want to be successful, but you realize you don't seem to be successful. Have you ever had a coach who just wasn't good at it? I'm sure if you have children, you've maybe volunteered to coach at some point in time. I did that this year, and they took me up on it. And I think I did okay, but clearly there are many, many better coaches out there. But I had a coach as a young person that they just weren't good at it. And they weren't good at it because, for one, they didn't know much about the sport. It was a baseball coach, actually. They really didn't know much about baseball beyond kind of some of the basic rules, and even some of them seemed sketchy to them. And, I mean, when you're 10 years old and you seem to feel as confident about the rules as the coach and whatnot, that's a little unsettling. And so he didn't know much about the subject matter, the baseball thing. Then secondly, he was kind of, he didn't have a whole lot of, I don't know how you put it, skill to teach. You know, he didn't know a lot about how to play the game, not just the rules of the game, but, you know, the ideas of catching and how to, you know, how you turn a double play and techniques and all that. So it was basically we just go out and scrimmage. And then he had a little bit of a temper. That didn't help. So when things didn't go well, he wasn't good at coaching you along. It was like, come on, quit striking out. You know, well, that's constructive, right? And some of the parents weren't as happy with him, perhaps, as whatnot. But the point is, you could tell that this guy, this isn't a spiritual task, obviously. And obviously, we're talking about baseball and Little League and whatnot. But clearly this guy was in a position that he wasn't suited for. But he was willing when no other parents probably were, and he was doing what the best he could with what he had. And sometimes that's where we find ourselves. But when you're in a ministry mismatch, it doesn't always go so well, does it? When you're trying to make something happen and you're working really hard and you realize I'm just not gifted in this area, and it can be a frustrating thing because you're not seeing the fruit of your labor sometimes when you want to. And sometimes it's simply you're choosing to put all of your energy and your efforts into something that's not the right match for you necessarily. And perhaps if you would look and say, where am I gifted, and go in that direction, you'll see great joy in serving God, because that's the way that it should be. So where do I use my spiritual gifts? Well, Christmas is just around the corner, and you recognize this, that any gift that's left unopened, or if it's disregarded, it's useless. You probably don't have any gifts that are still sitting under the tree unopened, right? But have you ever opened a gift in the next year as you got things? I know this is like confession, right? You ever pull out a gift and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember we got that last year. And maybe you remember who gave it to you, maybe you don't. But in essence, it was useless because you just went 365 days and it's still in the box. It never got open. How many of you had wedding gifts like that? No one's raising their hands because no one wants to confess, right? No, I put those in the wedding gift pile to give at other weddings later, right? But those gifts that don't get opened, they have no use. They have no value. You know, there's a lot of people, I think, or at least many people, that are spiritually gifted. They've never taken the time to really investigate this or to think about this. They've never taken the time to pray and ask the Lord to help them to understand this better and to see where they're gifted. And it's just like that Christmas gift. Now, in the case of the Christmas gift, by the way, the reason it's usually not opened a year later is because it didn't have much, it wasn't really anything of value to you. You know, it may be, you know, who knows, one more tray that doesn't match your set of dishes or something. And you just don't need that. And so it gets forgotten, it gets dust, and you find a year later you still have it in 5 years. But these spiritual gifts aren't a tray that you no longer need. It's something that God has given to you to serve Him and to serve the body of Christ. And perhaps we're sitting here in the body of Christ and we're down some toes, and there's some toes out there that don't even know they're there. And we could laugh because of the silliness of the illustration, but the reality is if you're not using your spiritual gift, you're not hindering your own spiritual maturity, and you're not hindering your own spiritual usefulness alone, you're hindering the body of Christ of which you're a part of, because the gifts are given for the body. And so, I don't like to bring up sports too much. Yeah, right, I love sports. Michigan, yesterday, they lost, all right? There, I brought it up, since no one else did today, right? Yeah, sure. I can't even come to church and praise the Lord without people having to try to discourage me with sports facts. The Wolverines, they lost yesterday. They lost to Nebraska. If you watch the game, you know why they lost. They lost because Denard Robinson, not the only reason, but at least the big contributing factor, Denard Robinson, their quarterback, got injured. He has a little nerve damage in his elbow. And with that nerve damage, he can't grip the ball. So he tried a couple times, but he just doesn't have enough strength when that nerve gets triggered, I guess, to actually hold on to the ball. And they say that's kind of important when you're the quarterback and you have to throw the ball. I don't know. I think they're overplaying it. They should have put him in and said, suck it up. But so he has this hand that doesn't work. I mean, literally, he can't control his hand. He has no strength. They kept shaking his hand on the sideline, his coach, and if he was waiting because Denard wanted to go in. But he just didn't have the strength, and they said, no, no, no. He's trying to convince them, you know, but he can't get enough of a handshake to prove that he can even grip the thing. And you recognize that now he's become not useless, but surely not as useful as he was. He could have ran out there and tried to throw it, you know, with his other hand. He could have carried the ball and just never thrown it. And he could have done what he could do, and he would have been very ineffective. Maybe he's about as ineffective as the backup. But that's another story. But in this case, the backup comes in because he's needed, correct? In this case, the backup's supposed to be ready, so the analogy may break down. But let's say they didn't have a backup quarterback and someone else steps in because no one else was there and he fills in. How's that game going to go? About how it went yesterday. Not going to go too well. Can't throw, does his best, throws some interceptions, They limp through the game, they lose, and it's done. Do you realize that's what you partially are doing when you don't exercise your spiritual gift in the body of Christ? You're like that hand that has usefulness, but you're not being used. And you're making that body ineffective because it can't do what it's supposed to do. And if we'll use our spiritual gifts together and exercise them together, all the parts coming together to work effectively, we'll find that we, controlled by the Holy Spirit and empowered by Him, can be much more effective together than any of us could individually. Every Christian should watch for opportunities to minister to others, to use their gifts as a blessing and an encouragement to others. Are you seeking to be a blessing to others using your spiritual gifts? I hope that you are. Even the newest Christians, it's not about spiritual maturity. It's not about how long you've been a believer. Do you get more effective as you use your gift? Well, sure, of course. But even the newest believer can use their spiritual gift to minister to others. How can we use our spiritual gifts? I think there's three primary ways. Number one is ongoing ministry. Is there something you're regularly involved in that allows you to exercise your spiritual gift? You should look for that. Short-term projects. Sometimes something comes up. Around here we've had a number of building projects and we just paid off the mortgage. How exciting was that? There were people behind the scenes that did all kinds of things within those building projects. There are guys that are definitely gifted administratively, right? They were able to do things that clearly, with God's help, they're able to administrate the whole financial scenario and all of those details and all those behind the scenes. You get these engineer kind of guys, right, that do the blueprints and all of that. When that stuff comes out, I get lost, right? Just tell me what's the bottom line, how much it's going to cost, how long is it going to take, and then I always double both those numbers. In the gift of the prophet, right? So the prophet comes along and says, well, you crunched all the numbers, but they're going to tell you all the reasons why it may or may not work and what we need to pray about this part. And then the mercy person comes along and they see all the ministry opportunities that this could fill, and this is going to be wonderful. And you see all the different gifts come together, and when they line up and are used effectively together to fulfill a project like that, isn't it exciting to see God work effectively in that way? But if you just had one of those groups running the project, you could imagine the imbalance that can take place. And that's why we need one another. And those short-term projects are opportunities often for you to get involved in something and use your spiritual gift. I know, not to put him on the spot, but Michael G. is clearly gifted in some of these areas in our strategic planning. When we came together to do some strategic planning and talked about different things, we had lots of ideas and lots of things that we would have liked to have done and different models that we could use. Well, here comes a guy that has definitely some clear gifts of administration, and he walks in and says, here's the game plan, let's work together on it. And then those people with other gifts that are needed within those discussions and in those teams come alongside of Michael. And what happens? We do something much quicker and much more effectively than we ever would have done had we tried to do it on our own. And so it's just another picture of using our spiritual gifts. And then through spontaneous situations, you don't have to put it on the calendar that you're going to use your spiritual gift today. Sometimes God places things in your everyday life and says, are you willing to be used? And I think that too often we fail to take those opportunities when they're before us. I know in each year teaching the evangelism course, for instance, as a really simple example to our young people in our high school, our seniors in the high school. Their assignment this week, for instance, they kind of ramp up their comfort zone. And they start with just having to talk to people they don't know. Just say hello, just be friendly to people you don't know. And just in that exercise alone, this is before they're passing out tracts, this is before they're sharing the gospel with people. And by the way, people they don't know. What do they come to realize very quickly is there's people everywhere that we run into and have opportunity to talk to if we just look around and see them. The gas station, the grocery store, my workplace, this class that I have to take, and you can go down the whole list of, you know, these aren't them, but you, my kids' soccer games, my kids' swimming lessons, and you can go down all the things that you do when we go to the play at the Center for the Arts. All these opportunities where you running into people that you don't know that probably don't know Christ. Are you looking to say, how can I use the spiritual gifts that I have as I run into people and as I have opportunity throughout my life on a day-to-day basis to just spontaneously be a blessing to both those in the church and outside the church? You ever come to church and or to work or to your Bible study or wherever the gathering is and you see people with needs? If you don't, it's not because they're not there. It's because you're not looking. Because in this body, there are people with needs everywhere we turn. Some have financial needs, some have physical needs. All of us, some of us are just more readily able to admit it, have spiritual needs. We have relationship needs. There are needs all around us. And sometimes we need to just spontaneously be looking to be a blessing to other people within the body of Christ. Last couple thoughts. It's easier to discover your gifts through ministry than discovering your ministry by your gifts. You say, what do you mean? For those of you that aren't actively involved in the regular ministries of this church, you're not doing something on a regular basis. If you're saying, I don't know where to start because I'm not exactly sure where my spiritual gift is, I have the hunch, but I'm not sure, and it might be this, it might be that. Start serving. It's a whole lot easier to figure it out while you're serving than it is to sit back and say, well, once I figure out my spiritual gift, then I'll figure out where I'm going to get plugged in. Get plugged in, make it obvious that that wasn't it, and then try the next one until you find the match. But get doing. We need more people than the 20% doing 80% of the work. And you know what I praise the Lord for? I think here at our church, it is more than 20% doing 80% of the work. I praise the Lord when I look on a Wednesday night and see the number of people that are involved in the ministries around this building. When I see the number involved in the GROW program. But you know what's also the prophet side of me, right? The part of me that sees where things could be. Is I do see also a whole lot of people that are in the pews on a Sunday that are nowhere to be found Monday through Saturday. And maybe that's not you, and maybe this is the wrong message for the wrong people, but maybe that is you in some way. Are you effectively using your gifts? Well, it starts by using them at all and getting serving. And I look around and I say, how can we more effectively, and we as pastors, we pray about this and we talk about this. And not just in the ministries that we oversee. Everyone doesn't have to do what I do. And Pastor Mike has, you know, his vision for his ministries that he oversees. And whenever you're doing that, it's easy to get short-sighted and think, if everybody's not doing what I'm doing, then what's their problem? And it's easy for us to sometimes in the moment think that way. But very quickly you recognize and realize that's not the goal. But you know what is the goal? Everybody should be doing something. What are you doing to serve the body of Christ? Because you know when you have success in the spiritual realm, it's when you're doing what God made you to do. That's when there's success. That's when you feel fulfilled. That's when you feel joy. You don't feel joy because your football team wins. That's fun. But that's not joy. You don't feel joy simply because you obeyed and you checked off a checklist of all the things you were supposed to do this week. And so I was a good person this week and I passed the good person test for the week because I had my devotions, you know, 5 out of 7 times. That's not joy. Joy is when you realize God made you on purpose and for a purpose and you're fulfilling that purpose. When you realize that God, by His grace, has saved you, God, by His grace, has enabled you, and God, by His grace, has used you to minister to others. And you say, wow, how did He use me? Well, because He uses the weak things, the simple things. He uses those things that are normally not seen as usable, those vessels that aren't anything special. But when He comes in and He's a part of it, He then makes us usable and makes us something special, not because of us, but because of Him. And that's when we realize real joy. And that's when we can use the word and define ourselves as a success. And you know, and I know, how we'll know when we're a success is when this life ends and we stand before God, if we hear, well done, thou good and faithful. Lord, thank You for the opportunity that You've given all of us to be a servant of Yours. Help us to seek out this area of spiritual gifts, Lord, to look and to pursue those areas that are mentioned in Scripture where you have given us the opportunity to be servants of yours. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be effective in using our spiritual gifts here in this body of Christ, Lord. That, Lord, we wouldn't simply be doing only based on need. Lord, obviously we need those that are willing to fill in the gaps, but Lord, that we would be becoming more and more effective at using our spiritual gifts. And Lord, as we're plugging ourselves into the right places, we can accomplish the same things. But Lord, as we accomplish them, we see your blessing because you are using those who are gifted to do it. And Lord, that is your desire for this body. Lord, help none of us to be on the sidelines and be that body part that's ineffective and unusable. But Lord, as a body, we would fit together well for the purpose of giving you glory and of ministering to one another in the body of Christ. Lord, it's a great joy and privilege, and it's only through your grace that we even have the ability and opportunity to be used. It's in your name we pray. Amen.